Czech historians and researchers are trying to benefit as quickly as possible from a new open access policy to the former Soviet archives in Ukraine. One lesson that has been learnt from nearby Russia is that doors that open one day can slam shut soon after. Chris Johnstone has more in this edition of Czech History.
History is written by the victors, according to the quote attributed to victor and history writer himself, Winston Churchill. And it could also be said that access to the state archives is determined by those who remain on the battlefield and take control after the fighting is over. Access for Czech historians to the archives of Soviet-era Ukraine was not surprisingly more than a little difficult, if not impossible, even after the country became independent in the early 1990s. But all that has changed in the last year and a half, with a welcoming smile and every cooperation now replacing the obstacles and cold reception given in the past to Western historians. Kiev no longer has much reason to pay attention to Russian sensibilities about the Soviet past. And so Czech researchers have begun to trawl through the former Soviet archives in Ukraine, and especially those of the security service, the SBU, to fill in some of the gaps about the thousands of Czechs unfortunate enough to feature in the secret police files. Some of those were descendants of ethnic Czechs who moved to Ukraine in the 19th century. Some were Czech teachers who visited in the 1930s and were accused of being spies. And the last batch of Czechs were those fleeing German and Hungarian occupation of parts of former Czechoslovakia, or who found themselves in the Soviet-occupied part of Poland after the start of World War II. There's also the strange story of the first transport of European Jews in 1939. That was the shipment of Czech Jews from Ostrava to German-occupied Poland and then into Soviet hands. Many ended up in the Soviet gulags or camps. Adam Hradilek of the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes is one of the Czech historians who's been trying to shed light on the treatment of these Czechs, thanks to the new access to the archives in Kiev. I asked him how the process started.
We started to search for files on Czechoslovak citizens imprisoned in Gulag camps in December 2011. And we were searching for materials on people that we interviewed, who spent some time in the Gulag camps. And that's what we actually managed to find in Užhorod. And we also started to work in Lviv in like regular state archives. And we were told by the archivist that the majority of the files stayed in the security services archive or the archives of recent security services of Ukraine. We started to cooperate with these regional branches, but after a while we received a message from the central headquarters of SBU. And so we were told not to work anymore in there, and everything has to go through the headquarters. And it was really complicated. It was like similar situation is in Russian archives. But last March, when I went to Kiev and had a meeting with the new director of SBU archives, we found out that the mentality completely changed, and they are willing to open up the archive for us. And so since then, we have made several visits to their archive and were able to search hundreds of files on Czechs or Czechoslovak citizens who were persecuted in Soviet Union between, let's say, 1930s till 50s.
What are those cases starting in the 30s? Can you describe some of those cases?
Yeah, in the 30s, the persecution mainly affected those Czechs that were already living for some time in the Volhyn region, for example, people who moved there in 19th century from the Czech lands. But also like Czech teachers who came to help these communities with education, etc. And together with like other Soviet citizens, they faced persecution, for example, during the wave of the repressions connected to collectivization of the villages, etc. Later on, for example, during the war, the majority of the Czechoslovak citizens that were persecuted in the Soviet Union were persecuted during the war, meaning those that escaped to the east and ended up on Soviet territory. For example, approximately 5,000 Jews who fled to the Soviet Union very often ended up in Gulag camps. Then, for example, Ukrainians living in the easternmost part of Czechoslovakia, the pre-war Podkarpatská Rus or Transcarpathia, approximately 6,000 of them escaped during the war, escaping the Hungarian occupation. And from this group, almost everyone went to Gulag camps, and they were only saved by the fact that Germans attacked the Soviet Union and the Soviets needed the men to fight the Germans, and they were released to the Czechoslovak army.
A lot of your research has been on the transport of Jews as well.
Yeah, this is really interesting part of the Holocaust era, that the fact that the first transport of the Holocaust in 1939 heading from Ostrava to Nisko, which was like on the demarcation line between the Germans and Soviets in Poland. Most of the Czech Jews who were deported to Nisko were forced to cross to Soviet Union by the Germans because the camp was still like unfinished, and so they forced most of the people to cross the border to Soviet Union, where majority of them were arrested in the Lviv region in the spring 1940 and sent to Gulag camps. And again, many of them were released. Those that survived, actually, were released later on to the Czechoslovak army.
And how do you see this this research continuing? Will it stay within the sort of same area of the 30s and the war, or do you think there's a lot more material that you can look at?
Yeah, these archives are like extremely interesting source of information for historians in Czech Republic. I know of Pavel Žáček, who is doing research there on like NKVD, KGB collaborators. So I really hope to see the results of his research soon. And I strongly encourage not just Czech, but also like any other historian dealing with the Soviet era to go there and search these archives. Simply because these files not only contain like materials on their like repression, but very often they also contain materials that these people brought with them to the Soviet Union, and they were taken from them after their search, etc. So there are many photographs, documents these people had, many personal items, diaries, letters, etc.
I suppose these archives, access to these archives is all the more important because the access to Russian archives is pretty difficult.
Yes, and we are afraid that there could be the same scenario as in Russia after the collapse of the Soviet Union. For the first few years, the archives were quite liberal and open to researchers, but unfortunately the rules became much more stricter, and so that's what we are afraid of. Could happen also in Ukraine. No one knows what the situation will be there within a few years. It's really unstable there. So that's why we are trying to focus our work on this and bring as much materials as we can for further research.
But there are still gaps, though, because of the lack of access to the Russian archives. I mean, how much of the picture can you fill in from getting access to what's in Kiev and what's still missing because of you can't get to whatever there is in Moscow?
We have access to criminal files, so it's like investigation file. So we know when the people were arrested, why there are like interrogation minutes, the materials that were like stolen from them after arrest. And sometimes, like in, I don't know, maybe 30% of the cases, there is some kind of feedback from the Gulag camps, if they survived, if they were released or died. But we don't have access to, for example, their prison files, what was happening in the Gulag camps. So these, for example, these files are still very hard to approach. But still, we are trying. For example, last year we managed to help one Czech professor to find out where his brother died 70 years ago in Gulag camp, and also bring parts of the file to Prague.
Those archives you were able to get, but that was...
If you are a direct relative, you can get access to parts of the file. They will never let you look into or copy all of the file. So the brother of the person I mentioned managed to receive like parts of the file, mm-hmm. including the picture from the camp just before his brother died.
Mm-hmm. And as regards the Ukrainian files, are there still... some parts of the history that they don't give access to, or is it more or less complete access at the moment? Maybe there are some things that they regard as too sensitive or that they don't want to bring up still, given the current tensions.
We didn't run into these limitations, but I'm sure because the archive is still like it's an archive of the secret services in Ukraine, so I can assume there are some materials that are sensitive and they won't be like open to us.